Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
John chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose, because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there, except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall all be taught by God. Therefore everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna, and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying, who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, Does this offend you? What then, if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, Do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12.
Lesson 74, Jesus Feeds the Multitude. In our last lesson, we saw how Jesus healed a lame man at the pool of Bethesda and then had to defend himself before the angry Jews, who thought Jesus was violating the Sabbath law. Today we shall see another great miracle of Jesus when he feeds a great multitude of people with bread and fish. When Jesus was on the shores of Galilee, he went up into a mountain, and great crowds of people followed him. He asked his disciples how they could feed this large crowd, and Philip said that even 200 denarii, almost a year's worth of wages, could not buy enough bread to satisfy everyone in this large crowd. Then Andrew brought a boy who had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus had everyone sit down on the grass. After he blessed the food and gave thanks, the disciples distributed the multiplied loaves and fishes so that everyone had enough to eat, and there was even 12 baskets of bread to collect after all had eaten. Jesus shows us that we should not be wasteful when it comes to God's resources, but put everything to good use. This wonderful miracle was witnessed by thousands of people and was again another revelation of Jesus' glory. Jesus sent his disciples by boat across the sea to Capernaum by night, but because the winds were contrary, they were struggling. Jesus comes to them walking on the water and tells them not to be afraid, and then they welcome him into the boat. As soon as Jesus got into the boat, they immediately arrived on the other shore where they were headed. Wherever Jesus went, his miracles were a witness of his great power and glory. But still many followed him only to get a free lunch and did not seem to consider or care that Jesus was God's Son. Some of those who had eaten the loaves and the fishes were anxious to find Jesus the next day, but could not find him at first, so they headed across the sea since they had seen his disciples go earlier by boat. They found Jesus in Capernaum and asked how he had come to the other side of the lake. But Jesus reads their heart and says that they only sought him because they had eaten bread and were looking for another free meal. They asked Jesus to show them a sign, just as Moses had brought manna to the people long ago. Jesus could see that they were just pushing him to produce more bread, so he told them that he himself was the bread that comes down from heaven, and they must eat this bread if they want to have eternal life. These words confused the crowd, but since they thought he was offering bread to them, they asked him to give them this bread. But Jesus has to explain that the bread he was speaking about was his flesh, and unless they eat his flesh and drink his blood, they would have no life in them. At this, many of them left from following Jesus, for they found his words too hard to accept. What Jesus was saying to them was that they had to believe in him to receive life. But they could not understand. His words were not meant to be understood literally, but spiritually, just like when Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." It is important as we listen to the words of Jesus to ask for the Holy Spirit's help so we can understand him and obey his words. There are many who have misread this passage in John 6 and understand it to refer to the Lord's Supper, and that those who participate will have the life of Christ in them. What Jesus spoke of here are words which are meant to be understood spiritually and refers to believing in Jesus as the means to finding spiritual life, just as eating bread supports physical life. After the crowds depart, Jesus asked his remaining disciples if they also wanted to leave him. But Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we know and believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." By Peter's confession, we can see that he and the other apostles had believed in Jesus and thus had partaken of the bread from heaven. Jesus then says to the 12 remaining that he had chosen them, but one of them was a devil. He was referring to Judas Iscariot, who would later betray Jesus to his enemies. To say he was a devil meant that Judas was a child of the devil and never had placed his faith in Jesus as the Son of God. This story in our Bibles teaches us something very important about how people can become a Christian through faith in Jesus Christ. Believing in Jesus is compared to eating bread. When we eat food, the nutrients that sustain life enter our bodies and keep us alive. Without food, we would soon die. Spiritual life comes when we take Jesus into our lives by faith. It cannot just be a one-time decision that we forget the next day, but a lifelong commitment to Jesus in faith. It is only when we believe in Jesus that God can impart to us eternal life. Some had difficulty believing in Jesus even when he was doing so many extraordinary miracles because they were just focused on filling their bellies and enjoying the life they have presently. The one that gives eternal life has helped us to believe by giving us many miracles that testify to his being the Son of God. We should be like Peter, who recognized that Jesus alone has the words of eternal life, and therefore choose to follow him in faith. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. John chapter 6, verse 47. Now for today's Bible question. Today we have seen how Jesus miraculously fed thousands of people from just 5 loaves and 2 fish. We also saw how he could walk on top of the sea and move a boat full of men miles across the water instantly. Someone might ask the question, what is the correct motive for following Jesus? In our lesson today, we found thousands of people were flocking to Jesus to hear him speak. Many of them had seen or heard how he was healing people, so they wanted to seek him out to learn from him, and perhaps some were also looking for healing. They followed him into a remote place where no food was available. This shows how earnestly they wanted to learn from Jesus and be blessed with his power to heal. When Jesus climbed a mountainside near Tiberias with this large crowd of people, he realized that it was getting late and the people were hungry. Jesus was glad on this occasion to provide for these hungry people because their motive was to find spiritual food and since they also needed some physical nourishment. When the people learned that Jesus had power to miraculously provide bread, they diligently sought him out so they could get some more food to eat. They had lost their appetite for spiritual food and now were only interested in filling their bellies. Jesus was a miracle worker that could provide an easy meal for them, so they were attracted to him for that reason. Today, many are still looking to Jesus with the same motive of filling their bellies. Many have found that if you invoke the name of Jesus or preach in that name, people will give money and therefore can fill their bellies. This is why so many people are peddling the Word of God on street corners to make some fast cash. Jesus is not happy with people whose motives to follow him is simply to fill their own belly when they really don't care about spiritual matters. By contrast, we find Peter and the other apostles who believed Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Even when Jesus' words were not easy for them to understand, they still had enough sense to realize that Jesus had the words that led to eternal life. They made their choice to follow Jesus, and not just because that meant a free meal. In fact, following Jesus meant to suffer some hardships, as we saw when they were struggling to make their way across the lake. But in their struggles, they found that Jesus came to rescue and help them make it safely to their destination. For those who seek Jesus with a desire for eternal life, they will find that Jesus is a faithful friend that will guide them safely through life until they reach the shore of heaven. When our heart has the right motive, we shall learn that Jesus is not simply a means to a happier and more comfortable life while we live in this world, but he is the giver of eternal life. So many people have adopted Christianity as their religion because of what they feel it offers to them for prosperity in this world. They believe if they pray and give to the church or the pastor or prophet blesses them, they will gain money, opportunity, perhaps marriage or blessings for their business. This motive is a selfish pursuit for riches in this world, with little interest in heaven's riches. Jesus wants to provide us an abundant life, but that abundant life is not one of selfish indulgence, but a life of love, sacrifice, and service, which will find reward in heaven. The reason we follow Jesus is not for the pleasure, money, and advantage it might provide to us in this world, but rather because we desperately needed to be saved, because of our sin and God's wrath and judgment that hangs over every sinner. We need to seek forgiveness and cleansing. This can only happen through humbling ourselves before God, admitting our sin, and seeing Jesus dying on the cross to pay for our sins. When we come to the point that we are fearful of God's judgment and desperate to be forgiven, we shall cry out as the Philippian jailer did and say, "What must I do to be saved?" Christianity is not a religion to join for personal gain. It is the only answer to desperate sinners who need a Savior. The right motive, then, to follow Christ is to be washed from our sins, to be forgiven and made right before God. Then our following Jesus will be our reward, our honor, and that which is motivated by our love and gratitude towards God who saved our souls. Why are you following Jesus? Is it for some few coins in your pocket, as Judas Iscariot did? Or are you following your Savior because he purchased you with his own blood, and love compels you to serve him as your Lord? For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 to 20. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus saw me with a stranger, if you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3, 16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this, Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins, and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life. If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. Praises, I will ever give to thee.